All right, how's everybody doing?
We're doing.
Same, sister. Same. Well, if we've never met, I'm Maria.
I'm Maria.
I go here. have been going here for my whole life. Not really, but like 22 years ish. I love Jubilee. This is my house, and I'm excited for this opportunity to share with you guys. What else? I'm married, I have three kids, and I'm an open book, and I can tell you everything later that I don't tell you accidentally through the process. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, I just thank you for today, God. I thank you for time to fellowship with my sisters. I thank you that you're wise in everything that you do, Lord. I thank you that you're in control and that I'm not in control. And I just pray that you steal the show tonight, Lord, that you just pull the rug, that you take over me as your mouthpiece, Lord, and that I won't have my way, but that you'll have yours, and that you'll navigate this time together, that you will direct it, Lord. I thank you for each person here, Lord. I thank you for divine appointment. I thank you that you will prepare our hearts and our ears and our spirits and our mental health and our emotions, Lord, to receive and to soak up and to weigh things out, Lord, and get from this anything that's of you and that we can build upon. And I just thank you, Lord. I thank you that you're our foundation and that you're our source. And we just bless this time. Amen. So, I will preface this. I always have to preface when I talk because you never know, you know, legalities. So, number one, I am not a medically trained professional in any way, shape, or form. I am not a licensed counselor, therapist, mental health expert, nothing. I am just a straight-up sufferer. So it's kind of like I know a lot about cars, but I'm not a mechanic. I just have cars that break down constantly, and I recognize a sound and know what it is, right? Like, I know what things feel like because they go wrong often in my life. So I'm speaking from a place of A, not even experience, because I'm not on the other side of it. I'm in the middle of it. So I'm speaking from, like, a double-edged sword of, like, this is what the Lord's been giving me as a literal lifesaver and lifeline to rescue me daily, not as somebody who's experienced, but who is experiencing, and also from a perspective of how can I, for a moment, because I'm not a medical professional, separate treatment from what is in my circle of control right now, which is what does the word say about my current pit that I'm in, you know? And so with that, I don't know if any of you guys, I don't think so, were in the breakout during women's conference that I did. No? Okay. So today Angela asked me to speak on, she literally, her words were anything like emotion based, maybe emotional balance, you know, like conference went really well and my conference breakout was about anxiety. And I thought, oh God, really? I've gotten worse since conference. I don't want to talk about it. I'm not qualified. I'm really stressed now. And then I also didn't want to repeat the same one, but I wasn't sure if that's what she wanted. So anyway, long story short, based on the title she gave me and the fact that it's obviously what God wants me to speak about, because I immediately felt overwhelmed when she asked me to do it, I took her title and ran with it basically and started really seeking the Lord about it, because it happens to be, again, what I'm in the thick of in life. And so what even is balance, right? Like, she's like, let's speak about emotional balance. And I'm like, I've been seeking balance my whole life. Like, literally, I remember being a four-year-old that is very stressed out. Like, a very small child that, like, small things, like my parents changing schedule, I was like, I'm so overwhelmed. I'm so overwhelmed. There is no balance. I remember living in guilt literally, this is going to sound dumb, y'all, just roll with it, but I would grab a doll and, like, put a doll on the bed, and if she was in the middle of the pillow, I would think, those dolls feel left out. So then I would get another doll, but then there was no middle anymore, and I'm like, ugh. Everything needed balance. I needed things to always be equal on both sides. If you come to my house and have coffee, I get two matching cups every time. Cannot not do it. I'm not describing OCD. Maybe I am. But the point I'm trying to make is balance is something that we naturally are built to want. It's not even abnormal. I think the world kind of tells us it is. And then we go through this spin cycle of thinking we're crazy. And really, we as humans are searching for balance because balance is actually equilibrium. And the Lord designed us to have stability, right? So what even is balance? Does it even exist? Is it attainable? Is it an actual potential? Do I have a timer of some kind? Anyway, it's 6:30. We'll hope for the best. Is it even attainable? Is it something that we can produce ourselves in any way or find? And so to answer those questions, we go to the Word. And as I started to research, what does the Lord say about balance? And what does he say about emotions? And the two of them together don't actually ever really appear in scripture. So like there's a lot of scripture about our joy or happiness, our minds. There's a lot of scripture about literal balance, like a scale, like an old school, like this thing. There's not a whole lot of them together. In fact, almost every scripture I found that had the word balance in it was from a legal perspective. Old Testament, talking about wages, talking about being righteous and justice and things being fair. And it was all relating to the law. But what the Lord does say in Proverbs 16:11, and this just like completely swept over me, it says, a just balance and scales are the Lord's. All the weights in the bag are his work. And all of a sudden, nothing about this is mine. And nothing is in my control. He's the actual scale itself. He's the unit of measure. And he holds the bag with the stuff in it that I feel in life is being thrown at me to have to balance. But all of it is his. All of it belongs to his, to him. And the reason I'm so out of sorts and freaked out all the time is I keep taking those things back and trying to measure them myself. And I don't know the unit of measure. I don't own the scale. And I don't even own the marbles. Like, he literally entrusts us with this to steward, right? So let's put some names to these marbles because of life. So like for me, he has entrusted me with these children that are not mine. I want them to be mine. And I'm a control freak about them, but they're not mine. They're three marbles in my little plate. He's entrusted me with a business, a husband, friendships, parents, all these things that are mine to steward, not mine to measure, not mine to determine, rather the sides add up. And I'm not even in the equation, but I'm constantly moving marbles from side to side to see if I can make both sides be the same, and I cannot do it. Because they're not even the same marbles. Like, it's not even possible. So it all belongs to him. So if we were to make this a very practical 12-step program, it's not 12, it's maybe 2, but it would be give it back to God. Anytime you're stressed, overwhelmed, seeking balance, the marbles are not yours, the scale is not yours, the unit of measurement is not yours, and the referee, like the person looking and holding a level to the little plates is not you. It's not. Okay? So what you're saying is, so when I read this passage, right, I'm like, the balance is yours, the weight is yours. So what he's saying is, I don't determine any of it. The apparatus doesn't belong to me. And like a fool, I'm over here moving marbles. And I cannot ever find a solution to this burden, to the weight of my marbles. And it's because sometimes they're not even divisible. Right? Like, if I have like 5 on one side and 5 on the other, and the Lord gives me like number 11, the lucky Powerball number is 11, and it's an odd number, and it has to go either in this cup or in this cup. They're not even equal. Like, there is literally nothing I can physically do. I cannot. I cannot do it. They're not divisible in equal parts. So it's not my burden to bear. Because in Psalms 55, this is the Message version. But we all know about cast your cares on the Lord, right? But in the Message version, this is really adorable because it says, pile your troubles on God's shoulders and he will carry your load and he will help you out. And I was like, the Message Bible is so trendy. Like, he will help you out. But no, he will help you out of your situation, out of your depression, out of the mud, out of the well, out of the dark, out of self-harm, out of overwhelm. Overwhelm is such a common word in my vocabulary. I'm like four times a day. My husband's like, how are you? Because he's an I personality and a happy person and a cup full person. And I'm a cup overwhelmed person. So I'm like, overwhelmed. He's like, okay, thank you. You know, like, what am I going to do? And so he will help you out, as in out of it, right? And we pile our troubles on him. Literally, part of feeling overwhelmed is that we pile. Like, we pile. Like, we cannot compartmentalize, especially women. Like, men are a little bit better at, like, pretending everything else doesn't exist. We're like, I can't just have this one marble. I need to look at the fact that both cups being full is freaking me out. All of it together needs to be mushy all the time. So take the whole pile and we put it on him and he helps us out. And the more I search about the word balance, the more I find that it's about the law. I already told you guys that. And justice and all of that. So I'm going back on my notes. But the balance that I was looking for in the word actually appears in the form of the words, like what we're actually seeking emotionally and mentally, and even in our souls, when we think we're seeking balance, we're actually seeking peace and rest. And believe it or not, submission. And the reason I say submission is when you're submitted to something, you depend on it. Right? Like, people think like submission in marriage is like this tyrant doormat relationship. And I fully submit to my husband, because it is the safest place for me to know that I can trust that he will make decisions that are the best for me, better than what I can make. And it actually takes a load of stress from my balance keeping and my control off of me. So submission to my husband creates safety. And when I'm safe, I can find balance and equilibrium, because I'm not trying to protect myself. I'm allowing someone else to cover me. So peace, rest, submission. In this case, of course, I use marriage as an example a lot because I think it's like a great display of the gospel. It's my favorite. But submission to the lordship of Jesus Christ. We trust that his character is good. He knows more than we know. He sees up ahead. He's not caught by surprise. He is my healer. He's my protector. I don't know when he's doing it. I also shouldn't care, because I'm submitted to him. And I simply trust that his character is good. And if his character is good, just like I trust my husband because I love him, then I'm safe. So submission equals safe. That was a sidebar, not on my notes. But peace, rest, submission. And the only portion of the equation that's actually in my control is alignment, which is posture. So my posture to submit, my posture to align myself in a way that allows him to come in and mold me and change this cup. Like, I literally, y'all, it does not matter what the two plates on the scale looks like. Maybe today it needs to be triangular because my marbles are weird. And maybe it needs to be a freaking crate on this side, you know? I need to align myself to a thing that's reshapable. And I think a lot of people that struggle with emotional distress, of course, back to my disclaimers, there are things such as hormonal imbalances, chemical imbalances, genetic disorders, autoimmune disorders, all of which I actually deal with. So I have Hashimoto's disease. It's a thyroid thing where my body killed it and my thyroid doesn't produce hormones. Big side effect of that is depression, you know, polycystic ovaries, endometriosis. So there are real physiological things that we believe in healing for and we stand for, and he will complete whenever, maybe in eternity, maybe here, I don't know. So there are real things, by the way, sidebar, but I'm talking about the things that the majority of us deal with. right? And I feel like the reason a lot of us, I totally lost my place, by the way, but the reason a lot of us are in this spin cycle is because we need control and we're control freaks. And being in control does not lend itself to being flexible. Most people who are control freaks are rigid, difficult. So like water is like doing fantastic. I can pour it into this bottle and it looks like the bottle, and I can pour it into this cup, it'll look like the cup. I can pour it into ice cubes, it'll look like ice cube tray. But ice is not that way. Like I cannot fit a square ice cube into this hole because it's rigid. And so it's a controlled like a controlled thing, and we are so, so desperately in need of control, and it's because we're rigid. And if we learn to be flexible, because we submit, because we trust, because his character is good, then life can become more fluid and more stretchable and moldable. And then when we're singing things like clay in the potter's hands, and it's not just pretty, like I literally need to be moldable. And I keep singing the song and not allowing myself to be clay. So then my posture is never the same. Or it's never what it needs to be, submission. It's always rigid. And so then I live stressed out. So the title of the message is Balance. However, we're about to realign our mindset and change that completely today in the name of Jesus. The need for balance is automatically stressful. The thought of balance is automatically stressful. The more I looked about answers in the Bible, the more searches come up, books that somebody read, that somebody wrote about emotional balance and like work-life balance and how to handle all it all and keeping all the balls in the air and all the plates on the whatever. And it's always something that we have created. And the need of balance stresses us out because it puts unimaginable pressure on us to make things equal on both sides. Like I was talking about with my dolls and the matching cups, right? Like we want them to be equal on both sides. So like, maybe that, there was I think they kind of used to look like this, right? The scales. And like there's a little thing, plate. And that's kind of good. Okay. They're not equal on both sides, and it's stressing me out, but we'll roll with it. So, we... also, I hate algebra. Just going to throw that out there. Right now. And the reason I hate algebra is my professor once said in college, which is where I stopped going to college, he said, both sides have to match. If you do it to... So, like... an algebraic equation, you know, it's like x plus a equals literally nothing because it makes no sense. And if you're trying to solve for it, and he's like, you got to do the same thing to both sides. So if you decide to divide x by a, then you divide a by x, and they cancel each other out, and then you have nothing. Boom. And I'm like, but why am I doing the same thing to both sides? Because I like for things to match and I like balance, but you have to tell me why. Like there has to be a purpose to something. And I couldn't understand what he was talking about. So I would get really stressed out. And I realized that it's because I don't know how to make the match because I didn't understand algebra because he was not a great professor. And so I could never get the right product. The product matters, you know? So like product, not W, P is better. So product, I want the product so badly. So badly I want the product. But I don't understand how to make both sides the same because I'm just following his rules and the system and the culture that is algebra and not because I understand how to get there, right? But I want the product, and the product is rest and peace and a sound mind and joy and all the things that I'm having a really hard time digging up because I keep thinking that in order to get the product, things have to be the same on both sides. I'm thinking, so in my case, you know, forget algebra, it'll be like, this marble is work life, this marble is mom, this marble is church commitments, this marble is marriage, this marble is responsibility with like my extended family, my parents, whatever, this marble is
personal time, self-care, right?
Whatever. There's always a comparison going on. I'm always trying to do. Hello, hi, welcome.
Sorry.
It's taken.
There's always this struggle of trying to match two signs together. Hi, beautiful girl. Hi. Curls are popping, fam.
Yeah, December 20th.
Just did it. Yep. It's nice. Congratulations. Love you. Love you. You're on recording. You said it.
Bye.
Aw, do you have to go? I'll wait. We'll pause. Anyway, so there's always about, like, there's always two things that my time, which then becomes my emotional well-being, is feeling divided on. I'm feeling stretched. And I'm always trying to make them the same. I'm trying to make the weight of,
what was this, work life? I want work life to weigh the same exact amount as motherhood. And then I want church commitments to weigh the exact same as marriage, etc. And they don't.
They don't. I cannot ever get both sides the same. One side always feels weightier than the other. You know, in my case, I'm over here and my plate just keeps getting fuller and fuller, and there comes overwhelm. So here it's like I'm a boss. But then I want to be a friend to my employees because I need to be loved and accepted by everyone all the time. And then I want to have nice things, but I want to save money because I'm obsessed with not going broke or something. You know, whatever. So there's always things, and you're like trying to keep the both plates the same. And I'm really struggling because I've always thought that that was correct. Like, it's correct to have balance. It's correct to share your time evenly and to make both sides look the same. And all the hats that I wear, like all the marbles that I put in those plates, are the different hats that I'm currently wearing in life, right? So I have children, a husband, my mom's very ill, I have a business, two businesses, 8 employees. There's a lot of responsibility. Church life, I want to be doing stuff like this more. All of that. And so there's all these hats I'm wearing, and I want all the hats to be this, to be equal. Like, I want all the hats to be equal, and I want to wear them equally as well. And I want all of them to look good on me. I want all of them to be a good fit. And I want all of them to be just right on the day that I choose it. Yes.
So are you saying, like, you want to be able to perform every single task that you're given to the fullest, but you don't know how to do that, like, with the strength that you're given earthly?
Right. That's how it feels.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm getting somewhere. But yes, I feel like, you just feel like you're never enough.
Yeah.
Like, I'm spread too thin. Like, how can I possibly, in the hours of today, be a full-time mom and a full-time boss and a full-time business owner and a full-time worker and whatever? How can you be everything? And you can't. This is, spoiler alert, you can't. Which leads me to my next point. There is no balance. Like, in the beginning, I'm like, is there even balance? No, there's not. There's no balance. So I'm back in the spin cycle of trying to find enough marbles to put on one plate to outweigh the other, to create some kind of a balance, to evenly distribute the weight. But remember, we cast our cares on him and he bears our burdens, right? I shouldn't be distributing the weight or carrying it for that matter. He carries the weight, and my job is to rest in him, which goes back to trust and submission, because you cannot rest if you don't trust, right? It's like night watch. If you're in the military, you can only relax and go to sleep because your buddy is on watch duty. If you don't trust your buddy and you think your buddy had a few too many or is going to fall asleep, you're not closing your eyes. I don't sleep on road trips because I don't trust the driver. I'm more likely to fall asleep driving myself than riding with someone, right? So you have to trust the driver if you're going to rest. So we have to rest in him, and that's why the rat race imbalance never works. But like in algebra, balance is law, like I was talking about when I was searching for it in the Bible. It was always a legal description. Balance is law, and balance is measurable, so it's exact. And because it's exact, and because it's perfect, it doesn't belong to us.
Mm.
We're not capable of perfect.
Mm.
And that should not be frustrating, but it should be liberating. Like, I literally cannot be a perfectionist. That is not logical, not possible, not who I'm created to be. And law is exact, and it's measurable. And both sides have to be perfectly aligned for there to be level. And when I say level, I mean like the tool with the green water and the little bubble, you know? And so all of a sudden, I'm like, I wasn't supposed to be looking for balance at all, at all. And so instead of calling this thing balance, I want to call it order, which sounds just as exciting for control freaks and perfectionists. But hear me, hear me.
Can we do that?
Yeah, order's good. Order's doable. It's not perfect. It's not exact. It depends on the person. It's fluid. It's very different. It's different seasonally. Order's just different. And so instead of seeking balance, which implies both sides must equal each other, and then it becomes a very weighty word, pun intended, we're going to measure things vertically, like a growth chart for your toddler. Which all of a sudden is positive, unlike a scale that weighs you at the doctor's office, right? So we're going to measure vertically, like a growth chart that's to be celebrated, and not scale, like that you step on, that's dreaded. So now we seek order. And the reason for that is order doesn't imply equal or perfect. It implies priorities. And so the moment that you're submitted and you're able to rest, you're able to prioritize. When you prioritize, it doesn't look like sides that need to match anymore, like this, but it looks more like a vertical measuring stick or like a timeline turned on its side, right? So priorities would then look like this. And so in priorities, it would be time with Jesus, marriage, kids, work, church, whatever, right? All of a sudden, my balance is vertical. Like, my vertical relationship, that's where my balance should be coming from, and not my lateral relationships, because those, like, can confuse us and tug of war us. So now, order looks like this. And the reason it looks like this is all of these things can have equal value. Even if they have different roles. Even if they weigh different amounts. Even if they take different amount of time. Right? So I'm like not a big proponent for modern feminism, and I don't like the word equality for men and women. Because we're not equal, we're never going to be equal. We're equal in value, different in roles, right? So all of the roles of all of the different hats that I wear, they're different, but one isn't valued more than the other. Like, the Lord doesn't think that me being a wife is more valuable than me being a mother, so how could I ever divide that time? How could you ever put the expectation on a young woman to choose between time with her husband and time with her kids? Or which one is more valuable? Neither is more valuable, but there are priorities that will yield benefits as you go down the line, right? So if, like, I'm spending time with Jesus first, not the most time. He's super nice and understanding. So maybe it's, like, 30 minutes in the morning, right? And with my husband, maybe it's a date night once a week, 2 hours. Does that mean that, like, this is less important? No. But it's on my priority scale. Now there's order. Is this making sense?
Yeah.
Sorry, let me find my place. So yeah, so it doesn't look like both sides anymore. It looks vertical. And a vertical line that can be ordered now by the Lord. The kingdom is orderly, and it's full of systems, and that's amazing and gets me really excited. I love order and I love systems, but we don't have to obsess over it. And prioritizing our hats this way, vertically, instead of this way, we can start lining up our priorities with the Word of God. And what lining up our priorities with His Word and His design for us will do is it slays giants. Oh, gosh, maybe 10. It slays, I'm going to go real fast now, okay? Lining up our priorities according to the will of God for your life slays giants. It slays the giant of comparison. Why? Because the moment that I'm worried about this Maria that lives in this measuring system, I'm comparing my mothering to your mothering. I'm comparing my ability to be a boss or a creative to yours. And comparison is a thief of joy. So then I'm not resting, I'm not submitted, and I'm not living in joy, right? So all of a sudden, making my scale vertical and prioritizing it according to His will for my life and to what He designed for me in the categories that He's gifted me because He gave me those things to steward, then it slays the giant of comparison in my life, which is usually a problem for people like me. It slays the giant of mom guilt, inadequacy, feeling like I'm never enough to do everything that He gave me because clearly He is super wise and aware of what He's giving me. And it removes the need for equality but puts emphasis on the God that created the hierarchy instead. And so this brings me to in Matthew 25:15, to one He gave 5 talents, to the other He gave 2, and to the other He gave 1, to each according to his ability. That doesn't mean that the guy who got 1 talent got 1 talent for the rest of his life. That moment, his ability was the one. Just like I once was a mother of 1, and the thought of 2 would have really overwhelmed me, but eventually he gave me 2. And then 2 was really overwhelming to me, so 3 was out of the question, but then eventually he gave me 3. Business, like I used to think like, oh my gosh, this is all that I can handle. And then there's more and he gives more and he gives more. So he gives increase to those talents, but he doesn't give them all equally. Like some of us have a ton on our plate, some of us have less. And it's where you're at and what you're supposed to have right now. And your priorities just have to align and be submitted and trust him. So if I all of a sudden start prioritizing time with him, instead of trying to compare time with him to time with my husband, if I start to prioritize time with him instead of measuring up against all my to-dos, if I start to prioritize mental health, I could put that like over here somewhere. If I prioritize mental health and self-care versus measuring it up against how much I should be loving my children, or better yet, when I measure up my ability to self-care to someone else's ability to self-care. Like I'm such a self-martyr to be like, well, I can't get my nails done every 2 weeks. Well, I can't go on a vacation by myself. Like, that's crazy. I'm not there. And you're comparing to somebody else's self-care. My self-care might just be coffee and lighting a candle by myself in the bathroom. It is what it is. So I can't compare. And the priority negates that completely because now it's vertical and I can't be doing this. And because none of them now have to be equal in timeshare or in space, but they line up with kingdom principles of how he designed me and his will for me. He's so orderly, but he's also so abstract. And I love that about God. He's orderly and creative. And that is, you know, when you're a human being who's orderly and creative, you feel bipolar. But God can do it beautifully. And the moment, so he's orderly and he gives us all these systems because we're so finite. But the moment that we get into his being abstract, that's when miracles start to happen. Because now the mathematical equations don't work anymore for him because he is not bound by the law. So all of a sudden, I can't even comprehend his magnitude. It's so amazing. Because if his system of in his system of measurement, he can give an increase to the 30 minutes that I said I could spend with him this week and give me so much in that 30 minutes. That when I was measuring him like this, it wouldn't work.
He's outside of time.
So all of a sudden, he miraculously... let me find where I was, because I'm trying to hurry.
increase on the 30.
Yes, yes, yes. So all of a sudden, his system of measurements gives me increase. So my 10-minute devotional changes my life. Mm. He blesses my children even if I work 50 hours. Mm. He blesses my children even if I'm a single mom. He blesses my marriage even if we're going through a tough time. All of a sudden, if I'm prioritizing it, he's blessing those things astronomically, and they don't have to weigh the same. And they don't have to take up the same amount of space in my life or the same amount of time. And then he honors my faithfulness in my community, in my church, with opportunities like today, even though in my heart I go home and beat myself up over the fact that I'm not here more often, that I can't devote more time, that I can't show up to feed the one because I'm at the salon or whatever's going on. He honors my faithfulness to yield to his design and to submit to his lordship and to prioritize things by putting him first. It's like tithing your time. It's the first fruit, right? So if I can just put him first, he gives rest. Matthew 6:33, it's an oldie but goodie. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So if we just switch our scales vertical, everything else lines up. Everything else lines up. And we don't have balance, but we have structure that's wholesome, that's sound, that's guided, that's submitted, that's fluid, because he's going to take us through different seasons and different levels of talents and different amounts of marbles. I totally have to end this. In Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. What are those things? Right now, today, what I need those things to be is hope, peace. So, like, I need my scales to be filled with hope and peace and rest and a sound mind and supernatural time and mental health. And you get to fill in the blank with whatever it is that you need, because when he says all things, he means all things. I think we should go next door.
That was good.
Thank you, guys. I wish I had more time. I always think I don't have enough words, and then I have too many. But let's pray and go next door, okay? Lord Jesus, thank you so much. I just thank you for my sisters, God. I thank you for what you're doing here today, Lord. I thank you for what's happening next door, and we're going to go and have amazing ministry time, Lord. I thank you that you will give us, just etch these words in our hearts and in our minds, Lord, and give us practical ability to put into place these changes in our lives. In your holy, precious name, amen. Let's go next door, right into the auditorium.